The youngest of 13 children in a devout Catholic family, Tina Alexis Allen grew up in 1980 suburban Maryland in a house ruled by her stern father, Sir John, an imposing British-born authoritarian who had been knighted by the Pope. Sir John supported his large family running a successful travel agency that specialized in religious tours to the Holy Land and the Vatican for pious Catholics. But his daughter Tina was no sweet and innocent Catholic girl. A smart-mouth high school basketball prodigy, she harbored a painful secret. She liked girls. When Tina was 18, her father discovered the truth about her sexuality. Instead of dragging her to the family priest and lecturing her with tearful sermons about sin and damnation, her father shocked her with his honest response. He, too, was gay. The secret they shared about their sexuality brought father and daughter closer, and the two became trusted confidants and partners in a relationship that eventually spiraled out of control. Tina Alexis Allen's new book is Hiding Out, a memoir of drugs, deception, and double lives. We welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Tina, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, Joe, it's such a pleasure listening to that. I'm like, whose life is that?
Like, can you believe it's yours?
You know, you have such a profound voice and presence. And as I heard it from your lips today, it settled in a new way. I have to be honest, and I've been on tour with this book for a bit of time. So I don't know if that's a testament to you, but yeah, it's a big life. And sometimes it catches me like, well, yeah, I live that.
Well, you know, it seems to me that there has to be at some point when you're talking about it, a detachment. And then eventually you remember, oh, yeah, right, I'm talking about myself.
You're absolutely right. I feel that way so much of the time. And not being of the story as I used to be and working on it in, you know, various creative ways, some solo shows and other things before getting to the book, you know, I have had some healthy detachment in the sense of healing and things. But, yeah, every so often, like this morning, listening to that, I thought, wow, it's real. Like, yeah, I did experience all that. It's stranger than fiction.
It is stranger than fiction, and yet it's your life, it's your memoir. And when when do you decide that I not only want to tell this story, but I want to write this story and share it with other people?
Well, it's definitely been a process. As I said, I've done, you know, my story, and there's so many levels, as you know, having read it, but there's so many different aspects to it that I've kind of peeled it back, kind of one relationship, one trauma, one experience at a time. And I do feel that it's after I did my solo show a few years ago, playing my dad off Broadway, that brought me to a really interesting space, which was I wasn't holding my dad as my dad so much anymore, because I actually played him literally as a man. And that was the entire show. And I stepped into his shoes, and I had to deal with him as a character. And it really helped me, even though I felt, you know, forgiveness by that point and everything, but it helped me understand him better. So when I went to write the book, I felt, I'm not of him either, if you know what I mean. I can write him, and I can write this story as characters, as people, without the judgment, and just tell the darn truth without being so, you know, I wrote it in the first person and as my young adult self purposefully so that I didn't tell the reader what to feel. I didn't want to do that.
So you feel that just laying out the facts, then you let them feel what they feel, and assuming they feel similarly to how you felt at the time of going through it real time.
You know, I think if anyone in just reading, because readers are, of course, are so smart, and you never want to be ahead of or have, you know, have them be ahead of you when you're writing. I just felt like my history growing up at lightning speed, having experienced some really, you know, fast, at times inappropriate, to say the least, experiences at such a young age, that the reader would understand my behavior at 18, 19, 20. And the choices that I made, which were not always so good. and I thought, well, if I just give them the context of what had happened and put them into the story, they'll take the ride and they'll decide and they'll get what it means to become a young adult and then an adult with all that stuff having happened. You know, and I think everyone knows secrets and everyone knows family drama. and some people, unfortunately, know childhood trauma. And I feel like the book is a bit of a mirror, frankly, for a lot of people. And I've had that beautiful feedback where people have really reached out and said, you know, this happened to me, or thank you for being so specific. Thank you for, you know, really going in there and not holding back anything. You know, bold, brave truths, you know, I think can serve people.
The title of the book, as I mentioned, is Hiding Out, A Memoir of Drugs, Deception, and Double Lives. You start off with drugs, although, I mean, that is part of the story, but it seems like it's burying the lead a little bit, isn't it?
I agree. To be honest, you know, the subtitle is oftentimes your publisher ultimate decision. So drugs, I would say, is more applicable to the alcohol, which I suppose alcohol is a drug.
Yes.
We did a lot of drinking. I did a lot of drinking. I had a lot of things to bury, so to speak, run away from, which I was doing. My dad definitely was an alcoholic. And yeah, we dabbled. When it gets pretty outrageous in the book, you know, we're at clubs and we're behaving in pretty outrageous ways. And, you know, drugs do play a part, but it is not the thing. You know, drugs sound more interesting than devotion, but the truth is the book is a combination of Catholicism, you know, meets, you know, drugs and deception and deviant behavior.
Right. The fact of the book, I mean, not only we talked in the introduction about the relationship with your father, which we'll get to in a moment, but you
sure.
You also were sexually abused by two of your brothers.
Yes.
Do you think I'm not excusing their behavior in any way, but does it come within the context of what is going on in the house?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've certainly healed so much of that. And to say it simply, you know, abuse doesn't happen in a vacuum. This book is my story. Obviously, my brothers and my whole family have their story, things that happened to them that I've chosen not to tell because it's not my story to tell. But I will just say that, you know, abuse of any kind, you know, generally happens in places where it's not safe, where there might be alcoholism, where there might be rageism, where there might be all kinds of secrets and lies happening. And, you know, again, not to put that behavior onto my father specifically, but the truth is that when you grow up in a place that is not transparent, where even if you don't know that there is that, you feel it. You know, kids are very smart. We feel things from a young age, even if we can't put words to it. So, you know, I think 13 kids is a lot. You know, there's a lot of action. There's a lot of needs not being met. Plus, there's dysfunction. And I think it's sort of a petri dish for a lot of shit to happen, frankly. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but sorry. But it's true. And as I say, my brothers have their own story. And, you know, I encourage them to come on to any press, you know, that I've had, including national TV and other places, so that we could lean into it. And I understand that hasn't happened. It may, but I'm all about putting a light on stuff. You know, I don't blame them. I wish it hadn't happened, but I also feel like we may be able to give back as a family, which is part of the reason I wrote it, you know, was my own service that I hope to do. But, you know, the light waits for everyone, so maybe that will happen one day.
They were your big brothers. There was physical
yes.
domination. You were 9 years
yeah.
old when the abuse started. By the time you're 11,
yep.
you're in Catholic school, and you
yep.
start to have sexual relationship with a female teacher. This
yeah.
goes on. This goes on for several years. For 3 years.
Yes.
And
yep. years.
So. You've already experienced this abuse with your brother. I assume you're starving for attention and someone pays you attention.
Yeah, I think it really is in some ways as simple as that, even though, of course, it's incredibly complicated and messy and, you know, sexual abuse for sure. But I think that's exactly what was happening. You know, I'm already exposed at that age to unfortunately, you know, sexuality, you know, and there is someone there who's paying me attention, you know, in the midst of me being in a big household, you know, as I mentioned, you know, we're all, you know, my mom had two arms and my dad was gone. So, I mean, gone in the sense of constantly traveling,
right,
which we'll get into. But yeah, this teacher, you know, I became the apple of someone's eye and was willing to pretty much do anything. And at that point, having been sexualized, it wasn't foreign to me that that's what adults expect, or that that might be part of the package. And it took me a long time to unravel that one, because with it came all kinds of other things, you know, the presence and the attention and the Saturday outings and the tutoring and the, you know, the one-on-one attention besides the other piece of it. So it did take me, but I did end up going to the police in my 30s more as a stand for myself, not because I necessarily was looking to put her behind bars, but I did want to make sure she wasn't teaching anymore.
Yeah.
So it, as I say, it took me a long time to get clear about what it was, but I did thankfully get there.
Your father finds out about your relationship with another woman and then tells you that he himself is gay. This is, I mean, obviously this is shocking under any circumstances, but given the devout Catholic family that you grew up in, this has to be jaw-droppingly
devastating. I mean, it's, people have often asked me, well, did you have any idea? No, no, I didn't. This is the man who, you know, went to daily mass, you know, 6:30 every morning. He ran a Catholic travel agency. He was going to be a priest. He acted like a priest in the sense of his devotion, his mannerism, his behavior in terms of, you know, guiding us into faith. And it was the last person in the world that I wanted to know about my own secret life, and the last thing I would have thought he'd ever say. And of course, it threw us into a whole different dynamic, because I didn't like him very much at that point. You know, I never really was close to my dad. I didn't think he liked me very much. He didn't necessarily treat my mother or us very well when he was home. And obviously, there's, in hindsight, probably a lot of reasons for his frustration, but we didn't know that. So it turned everything upside down. And that's just chapter 3.
Right.
That's just the beginning when he tells me that. Then it gets crazy.
Well, yeah. So give us a sense, and I don't know how much of it you want to give away, but of how it gets crazy, because it is, a lot goes on.
Yeah. Well, basically, again, without giving too much away, as a spoiler, I would just say that, you know, we carried this secret of each of our preferences at the time, if you will, with each other. You know, we traveled the world. We went to clubs. We were keeping basically this secret at home. And so it became a kind of, you know, secret world we were in together, and still with the mask of all the Catholicism around us, of his work, of his, you know, role as a father, as a husband. It was very complicated. I had a lot of guilt and, you know, regarding my mother, particularly, who I adored and felt like I got a dad, but in a way there was a big price. And then as I start to work for him in the summers at his travel agency, I start to uncover really some wild things, briefcase of money, and start to uncover the high level connections that he has at the Vatican. And without giving too much away, the double lives is more than his sexuality.
Right. And so where are we now with the family? You mentioned your brothers, and obviously
sure,
it's a large Catholic family. So
yeah,
how does this all, do you feel that your pain, because other pain was felt in the family, obviously, that
sure, absolutely,
everybody deals with it differently.
Yes. You know, I get that I'm a public figure. You know, you know, I'm already out in the public as an actress in other ways. And so that's a little more comfortable for me to be out there. Obviously, my siblings are not in the business, so that's not something they're used to. But what I will say is, you know, of course, there are some that wish all this would just remain a secret, that it was staying in the family and not, you know, it's nothing that I revealed in the book other than the details, of course, of what Dad and I were up to. But as far as his lifestyle and the other things, the big ticket items, everyone knows this. There's many in the family that really understand where I'm coming from, in the sense that, you know, we're only as sick as our secrets, that if you do get on the other side of a life like mine, I really feel there's an obligation to pay it forward. And that's what I'm about. So even though I do understand the hesitation of, hey, your neighbor knowing, or the people back right. home in Chevy Chase knowing, and some of my siblings living still in that neighborhood, I understand that challenge. But I also know that we change the world by being brave. And being brave is to be able to say to your neighbor, yeah, all that happened, but you know what? We're a loving family, and we're on the other side of it. And, you know, we can teach people, you know, maybe how not to make some of the mistakes that were made in our house by being open and transparent. So that's my mission. And, you know, it's not throughout the family, but definitely there are many that understand and are on board.
Tina Alexis Allen's new book is Hiding Out, a memoir of drugs, deception, and double lives. Tina, thank you so much for sharing with us. It's a great pleasure, and I thank you for being here and for telling your story with us.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a wonderful time talking with you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Hiding Out by Tina Alexis Allen. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.